So before we start this evening, we're going to hear tonight about the flute stealing pastime. Before we start that, I would like to read a couple of quotes because it's very helpful for us to keep in our heart and our mind what is actually taking place. So Krishna, this is from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, has the embodiment of Sringharas as his dear friend, who arranges contrary spiritual emotions, such as jealousy, in the hearts of the different groups, simply to further enhance Ras and thus satisfy Krishna. However, such opposing emotions are all transformations of love of Krishna, and they are only expressed at times of meeting with Krishna. When they are apart from Krishna, the opposing groups of gopis feel deep affection for each other. And here's another quote. The astonishing truth is that the Sringha Rasa of Vrindavan Leela is so wonderful that by faithfully hearing about it, mundane sensuality, so contemptible, is purified and transformed. And furthermore, the oneness of impersonalism that so much absorbs the mind is blown away like a dry leaf in a storm. Then the spiritual Madhurya Ras is eternally enthroned on the throne abdicated by the impersonal concept. This rasa bestows highly condensed spiritual bliss, devoid of impersonalism or the pleasure derived from inert matter. Within this rasa are an unlimited variety of moods, often contrary, sometimes affectionate, sometimes full of enmity, but diametrically opposed to the base defective counterparts of this mundane world. These are all transformations of supreme bliss. So today we'll hear about some of those transformations. This is Act 4, and if possible we'll do Act 4 and Act 5 together tonight. So Act 4, Nandi Mukhi enters, and she is saying, Nandi Mukhi enters, saying that she has been requested to go and tell Subal to remind Krishna of Radha. So she's on her way when suddenly Padma arrives. And Padma tells Nandi Mukhi in confidence that you are very wise. So tell me, what can I do to pacify Chandravali? Because Padma is like Lalita. She's the fierce friend of Chandravali. So Nandi asks why she is agitated. And Padma says she has not met Krishna in a very long time. Then they both hear Vrinda off stage describing Krishna with his flute in his left hand, now walking slowly on the summit of Govardhan. So Nandi tells Padma to quickly go and get Chandravali and take her there. And then she leaves to do what she's supposed to do. Meanwhile, Krishna enters with his friend Subal, and he's saying to Subal, the faint sun now sets. With its faint yawning of darkness, the beginning of evening is very pleasant. Then Subal says, please play some sweet music on your flute. And Krishna places his flute to his mouth and he begins to play. Then he says, Friend, today I want to please Chandravali. Suddenly, Padma and Chandravali enter. Krishna is very, very pleased and he begins to speak many, many joking, crooked words to Chandravali. And Chandravali is very reserved and she's being very discreet and a little embarrassed. And Krishna says, "My dear Chandravali, whenever I see you, you are always newer and newer. So please extinguish this fire of separation. My beloved, listen. When I was in the forest, I was overwhelmed with thoughts of you. And there was only one thing that could relieve my distress. It was the cooling, sweet Dara, and Chandravali looks at Krishna with very fierce eyes and she says to him, "Go and serve Radha." And Krishna says, "Beloved, I said water. You did not hear me correctly." Chandravali exchanges a few more short words with Krishna, but she's very upset. She behaves very politely. And Padma chastises Krishna. And then in an angry mood, both the girls say, "Please give us permission to see the deity Bajrakali." And they both leave. Krishna is now quite thoughtful. He thinks for a while and then he decides that actually he should try to meet Chandravali again. Subal says, "Why do you bother with that unpleasant girl?" But anyway, Krishna decides to meet her again in a Bakul grove, very fragrant grove. And with Subal, he walks towards that place. Subal, having been asked to remind Krishna of Radha, he waits until the right moment and then he says, "My dear friend, if Radha was here with you, it would be very pleasant." And Krishna says, "What you say is true." Then he says, "To Lalita, go and repeat my words." Subal says, "So be it." And he goes to find Lalita and tell her to bring Radha. But meanwhile, Padma has met Madhu Mangal on the way and she's told Madhu Mangal what happened. And Madhu Mangal decides that he should try very hard to bring the two of them together again. So Padma says, "Saintly one, you lead and I will follow." So together, Madhu Mangal in the lead, Padma right behind, they go to where Krishna is. And as they go, they can hear Krishna is speaking. Now he's thinking of Radha. So Madhu Mangal very cleverly says, "We should hide in the vines here and we can listen to what my friend is saying." So they do that. And Krishna is speaking and he says, "Oh, I wish my beloved, who is a treasury house of jewels of sweetness, would come and act as a decorative ornament." Madhu says to Padma, "We should bring Chandravali immediately." And they start walking away. Meanwhile, Krishna continues saying, "Oh, when will beautiful Radha come and embrace me? Please quickly bring her." I didn't hear that. So then they go and they bring Chandravali. And suddenly Chandravali enters with Madhu and Padma and she's carrying a beautiful garland. Now Krishna knows that Radha is coming. And so Madhu Mangal, he hears the ankle bells and he thinks, "My beloved has come." So he rushes towards Chandravali and he says, "Now I see the flowering vine where the bumblebee of my heart flies. Now I see glorious, auspicious Radha who He stops in mid-sentence. Chandravali looks at Madhu Mangal with very sharp eyes. And Madhu Mangal says, "Oh Chandravali, you are glorious. Our dear friend is actually glorifying you." And he speaks some clever words to explain another meaning of the word Radha. So then he says, Krishna says to himself, "Why did he bring Chandravali?" He says, "Never mind, I will flatter her." So Chandravali comes forward and she places her beautiful garland around Krishna's neck. And Madhu proudly says, "Do you see how clever I am? You could not untie the knot of your friend's jealous anger. But I am a reservoir of ever new virtues, and I untied it." And Krishna smiles and at Madhu, and Padma quietly, with Madhu, exit, leaving Krishna with Chandravali. Krishna says, "Dear Chandravali, not far from here is a beautiful forest grove. Let us go there." And together Chandravali and Krishna depart. Now this is evening. Meanwhile, Radha has arrived with her friends. She arrives at the meeting place she's been told to come to. But when she gets there, she cannot see Krishna anywhere. She cannot even smell the fragrance of his garland. Then she enters a Bakul forest in search of Krishna, and not finding him there either, hiding in the vines, she examines some kadamba trees. But there also, she's hoping to find him, but she does not. Then Radha suggests to Lalita, "Please make me a pastime cottage, a cottage made of beautiful flowers, fragrant flowers. Please make a flower decorated archway, a couch of blue lotus flowers, and other decorations and delicacies for Krishna's pleasure." So Lalita does that. She makes everything beautifully. Everything is arranged for Krishna to come to this rendezvous. And Lalita says, without looking at her watch, "Look, Krishna is very late. Let us enter to the forest and wait for him there." So Radha says to herself, "I think he must have been stopped by Padma, who decided to please her friend." They look up in the sky and they say, "Now the moon is rising." Radha and Lalita exit. Then Krishna himself enters. He's looking this way and that way, and he notices also that now the early rays of the sun have arrived. So it has been quite some time that Radha has been waiting. He wonders if Radha is going to be very angry with him because he's very late. He decides that perhaps he should pick some beautiful flowers and bring them to her. And then he walks until he arrives at the altar where Radha worships the sun god. And there he sees Radha coming and approaches her, speaking very cleverly. "Lalita," he says, "I see you are an expert teacher in the matter of giving bad advice. At this altar in the Nagkesha tree forest, you have now initiated me into the vow of staying awake all night." Lalita is furious. She speaks many chastising words to Krishna because she understands what he was doing. And Vishakha also chastises him, but Krishna just smiles. Then Radharani says, "Because you speak so proudly and fearlessly, I do not think that you are free from fault." And then Lalita says to Radha, "Be merciful to Krishna. He is depressed because he has had to stay here staying up all night alone. Radha looks at Krishna from the corner of her eyes and she says, "You are expert at cheating the foolish." Krishna says, holding out the flowers that he has bought for Radha, he says, "Please, with these beautiful flowers, let me decorate your hair." And Radha turns away. And Krishna, then she says, "Give me the flowers." And she extends the end of her veil for Krishna to put them in, not her hair. So Krishna's looking at Radha, and Radha looks at him and shoots an arrow of her sidelong glance with anger at Krishna. And Krishna, her eyebrows of Radha are so expert in the art of violently dancing, says Krishna. And as he's stunned by the beauty of Radha's eyebrows, Vishakha whispers to Lalita, "Look, did you see? Bewildered by our friend's glance, Krishna is not aware that he has just placed his flute on the edge of our friend's veil." Lalita says, "Yes, the cowherd boys are not even able to steal that flute when he's asleep, but our fortunate Radha has nevertheless bewildered Krishna with the art of her sidelong glance and stolen his flute before his very eyes." Radha says to herself, seeing the flute, "This same flute who causes the gopis to become mad and calls the gopis from their home is now under my control." Meanwhile, Madhumangal arrives and he tries to understand the situation. He immediately sees that Radha is angry and unhappy. So he has brought with him a garland because he wants to make everything all right. So he decides to speak some words of consolation to her. He says, "Is it right, seeing you so angry, for you to rebuke us? You must have remained awake thinking that the movements of the creepers were due to the wild animals in this forest. All glories to you. But now that you know that there are no wild animals here, there is only my dear friend Krishna. Now you are free from any fear and you can go home to sleep." Radha says, "Noble sir, what do you say? When I cannot see the moonlight of Krishna's toenails, the ordinary moonlight overwhelms me." And in that sentence, the word Chandravali is there. Madhu says to himself, "Uh-oh, she's seen Chandravali. Now, I will give up trying to cheat her, and instead I will just flatter her." So he says, "My dear, beautiful girl, when my friend could not find you, you know Krishna became filled with despair. And in that condition, Chandra..." And Krishna knits his eyebrows and looks at Madhumangal, telling him, "Stop!" And then, struck with wonder, everyone gazes at each other. Now they understand what took place. And Madhumangal says, "Alas, I'm a Brahmin boy who just spoke very recklessly." And Krishna begins to try to speak many clever words, sweet words. But Radha is not interested. Then he appeals to Lalita and to Vishakha to break Radha's angry mood. But still, she is not prepared to listen to Krishna. Then he bows down on the ground and begs for forgiveness. But suddenly, Mukhara appears. She glances at Krishna. And she says, "This is the Krishna who lures the gopis from their homes into the forest and makes them forget the love of their relatives. Oh, honest daughter, you have now fallen into the hands of this Krishna, who is more expert than a host of debauchees." Madhumangal says, "Oh friend, the wind blows through the mouth of this talkative old lady. She is as empty as the hollow shaft of your flute." Krishna says, and says to Madhumangal, Madhumangal says to Krishna, "Why should you stay here?" Krishna says, looking around, "Friend, where is my flute?" Madhumangal says, "You know where it is." And then Krishna realizes he doesn't have his flute. And then he thinks for a moment, he's a little shocked, and he says, "Radha must have stolen it. How can I leave without my flute?" Madhumangal says, "Oh, we are lucky these beautiful girls did not steal you. Let the flute stay. Let us just run for our lives." Krishna says, "Talkative friend, stop." Then he walks over and he says, "Oh, beautiful girl, you are a very expert thief. Oh, moon-faced girl, you have stolen my flute." Radhika knits her eyebrows and she says, "Give up these crooked accusations. Who knows what happened to your flute?" Lalita said, "No gopis steal another's wealth. We are pious and honest, so do not needlessly accuse us." Krishna says, "Friend Lalita, please be kind. Show some civilized gentleness to your friend." Lalita says, "Enough of this talk. Quickly go home, scoundrel. How can we guarantee that you will eventually regain your flute?" Radhika approaches the old lady Mukhara and says, "Oh, noble lady, you have seen the character of your grandson. This person is accusing us of being a thief." Mukhara becomes very, very upset and she says, "Krishna, I know the truth. You have come here only to mock my granddaughter Radhika." Madhumangal says, "Oh, disreputable woman who speaks harsh words, your granddaughter stole the flute, and now she takes shelter of you, the fortress, to protect her." Krishna says, "Oh, noble Mukhara, my friend speaks the truth." Mukhara says, "Radhika, is this true?" Radhika says, "Noble lady, in this Vrindavan forest, have I ever taken even a handful of 8 bamboo sticks for firewood?" Krishna smiles and says, "O fair complexioned angry goddess, if you have actually not stolen my flute, then why, as you tell this story, has your sidelong glance restlessly swung to and fro on your cheeks and suddenly blossomed from the flower bud into a flower bud of a smile?" Mukhara gets very angry again and she says, "You rogue, even though this girl is the chaste wife of Abhimanyu and even though she should be respected or even worshipped by you, you still insist on mocking her in this way." Madhumangal says, "Mukhara, I swear by my sacred thread, today I have seen my dear friend Krishna place his crown on the ground as he bowed before Radhika." Mukhara says, "That act will increase his piety." Then Mukhara says, "Krishna, by not being responsible in protecting the cows, you have made the cowherd man Nanda very unhappy. Now go and look for your cows." Krishna says, "Noble lady, without my flute, it will be very difficult to call my transcendental cows." Lalita says quietly, "You mean girls, not cows. Why don't you speak in a straightforward way?" Krishna says, "Lalita, the presence of elderly Mukhara has given strength to you girls. How can I debate with you now?" Lukhari gets angry again and says, "My granddaughter is a young girl, and you, rogue, are not afraid to break the rules of religion. I am an old lady, and even at midday, I cannot see very clearly. So, Nanda, O son of Nanda, if you do not leave my doorstep at once, I shall not be at fault when I take the path to Mathura." In this last sentence, Mukhara is threatening to lodge a complaint to Kamsa. Mother Mungo gets very angry and he said, "Oh, loud-mouthed old lady, why do you have to fear Kamsa? You may go to the king of Mathura." Mukhara says, "Stop. I shall take my granddaughter and go to the king's assembly hall." Then she takes Radha and they all leave together. Of course, Mukhara is bluffing. Krishna says, "Friend, come here. Let us go to the shore of the Jamuna and look for the cows." Then Krishna and Madhav Mangal go to the shore of the Jamuna to bring the cows home. The following day, Purnamasi, she is thinking, and she is thinking, and she comes to the conclusion that love always brings suffering. And now Radha is suffering. She has been informed that Radha is extremely distressed. And as she is thinking about this, Rinda Devi arrives with Madhav Mangal to tell the elderly lady that after this great argument that took place yesterday, Krishna is also very distressed. "He is very upset," says Rinda. "Krishna does not wish to hold his staff. He does not touch his buffalo horn. He will not decorate his body. He no longer plays his leaf flute. His great playfulness is gone. His mind is reeling, and he stays by the Jamuna's shore, very depressed." Purnamasi then considers this, and after discussing with Vrinda, she decides that Madhav Mangal should go and enliven Krishna with some news. She says, "I will go now to meet Radha, and I will convince Radha to come and meet Krishna. So Madhu, please go and cheer Krishna up with the moonlight of this good news." Then Purnamasi, Madhav Mangal goes to meet Krishna and tell him that Radha is coming very soon. Purnamasi goes the other way to meet Radha, to bring her to Krishna. So when she arrives where Radha, Lalita and Vishakha are sitting, she examines Radha's mood of separation, which is caused by her jealous anger. She sees Radha feeling very morose. Radha sees a bumblebee, and she thinks that the bumblebee is bringing a message from the peacock feather-crowned Krishna. Then she begins to speak to herself as if she's speaking to Krishna, as if Krishna is actually present. And she worries that perhaps Krishna has now become angry with her or indifferent, or he will now reject her because of her mood. Her friends continue to assure her that Krishna is meditating only on her. Then she reveals the flute that she has received accidentally, she has stolen. And she begins to criticize it. She says, "It appears that you have been born in a good family, for your residence in the hands of Krishna, for your residence is in the hands of Krishna. And by birth you are very simple and not crooked. But why have you taken initiation into this dangerous mantra that enchants the gopis? Shaka tells Radha that the flute is so clever that it knows how to play music by itself. If you just place it in the wind, it can play a tune. Radha becomes interested in this information. She becomes a little fascinated with this. And so she decides to test it. She places the flute in the wind, and a beautiful flute song comes out of the flute. Vrinda hears this flute song, and she says to Purnamasi, "This was not a very good idea. Who has given Radha this bad advice?" Purnamasi says, "Don't worry, I will take care of everything." And what happens next? All of a sudden, hearing this flute music coming from outside Mukhara's house under a kadamba tree, Jyotila arrives on the scene. She appears and she says, "The flute was played. Is it not true that Krishna must be here?" And she looks all around, but she cannot see Krishna anywhere. But what does she see? Ah, the flute is in the hand of Maharaj Vrishabhanu's daughter. Jyotila becomes very, very sneaky, and she says, "I will sneak up and I will take it." So she approaches, and then very angrily she reaches out and says, "Give me that flute." And she takes the flute out of Radha's hand. She pulls the flute away and she says, "I will take this flute and I will show this to noble Purnamasi." And then she marches off. Now Purnamasi is there watching. She's going in the direction of Purnamasi's cottage. So Purnamasi looks a little bit nervous right now. This is a little bit awkward. Lalita runs behind Jyotila, trying to explain that actually we found this flute on the bank of the Jamuna. There was no difficulty. And meanwhile, Subal comes. And Subal has just seen what happened next. So Subal comes in, laughing. And he says, "Do you know what just happened?" And everybody is listening. He says, "I was watching and I saw a big monkey," because Vrinda is there, right? She's very expert. "I saw a big monkey going in the direction of Jyotila's house. So I yelled out to Jyotila, 'Jyotila, watch out, there's a monkey going, he will steal your milk and butter.' So then Jyotila saw the monkey and she started running towards her house instead of towards Purnamasi. And she became very angry with the monkey and she threw the flute at the monkey and hit the monkey. But the monkey grabbed the flute. And now the monkey Kakati," this is Vrinda's friend, pet monkey, "has the flute. Then Jyotila said to me, 'Subal, climb that tree and get that flute back immediately.' But I told the elderly lady that there is only one person that Kakati isn't afraid of, and that is her nephew, Vishal. He should climb the tree and get the flute. And I said to her, 'I saw Vishal. He's on the just nearby to Govardhan. So you go get Vishal and he will get the flute.' So immediately Jyotila set off towards Govardhan." Now Purnamasi says, "Very good." And she tells Lalita and Vishaka that now they should go and meet Krishna as planned. But then all of a sudden, from behind them, the curtain opens on the stage and Mukhara is there. Elderly Mukhara appears with some news. She says to Sri Radha, "Your husband Abhimanyu just sent me. Abhimanyu told me to tell you that today the astrologers have told him to worship the goddess Durga. So he has told me to tell you to please bring all the paraphernalia and meet him under the Chaitya tree. Oh, both of the girls look at each other, very, very unhappy. And Radha says, oh, misfortune of misfortunes. And then they leave to attend to the worship under the Chaitya tree. Purnamasi becomes now quite anxious because it has been quite a long time and Krishna is waiting. So she decides to send Subal and Vrinda together to console Krishna. And she says, and I will go and deal with the diplomatic crookedness of Jyotila. So Purnamasi goes, and Vrinda, meanwhile, has retrieved the flute. She has the flute with her. So Vrinda and Subal walk on the path to where Krishna is waiting, looking down that path, anxious, meditating on where is Radha, why hasn't she come? He's feeling so much longing to see Radha that suddenly it's as if he sees Radha everywhere. The three worlds have become Radha. He's so anxious, where is Radha? Vrinda sees Krishna looking in this way, backwards and forwards, and she tells Subal, after thinking for a moment, let us play a clever trick on Krishna and cheer Govinda up. And so instead of them going to Krishna, they go in a different direction. Meanwhile, Krishna is saying, oh, the three worlds have suddenly become now empty. And while he is feeling so sad, Madhumangal says, but wait, can you hear the sound of ankle bells? And Krishna turns and looks, and he sees Lalita and Vishakha standing before him, quite some distance away. And Krishna looks at them, very happy, they have come. But why do they no longer love me, asks Krishna, because they remain so far away. Madhu says, Radha is pleased with you. Look, she's holding the flute. Suddenly, another gopi arrives. Her name is Sarangi, and she is Vishal's sister. And she has come to bring a message of chastisement to Krishna for teasing Radha so much about the flute, because everybody has seen that the flute was not with Radha, the flute was with the monkey. So she says, why do you falsely say my granddaughter stole your flute? This is the message. We have seen it in the hands of Kakati. But then as she's delivering this message to Krishna, she too sees Lalita and Radha standing some distance away. And she says, Radha, why are you not with your husband? He called you to do the puja under the Chaitra tree. Then both Lalita and Radha start calling Sarangi many ill names. And Sarangi becomes so angry at all the things that they're calling her that she says she's going to run off and tell Jyotila what they have just said. And she leaves. Then Lalita tells Radha, who's holding the flute, to throw the flute to Krishna. So from far away, they throw the flute to Krishna and he catches it. Meanwhile, who should arrive but Jyotila? Sarangi went back and did her telltale work, and Jyotila is hot on the trail of Lalita and Vishakha. So she arrives, and seeing the two girls with Krishna, she angrily moves her cane backwards and forwards like this. She's very, very angry. And she says, "Oh, smoking cinder that has burnt to down the reputation of your family. Every day you cheat someone. What can be done to stop you?" And then she takes Radha by the hand and she walks away. Madhu follows at a short distance because Krishna says, "Go and see what happens now," because now she's got them. And Madhu walks behind to see what's going to happen next. And after some time, while Krishna is anxiously waiting, Madhu Mangal returns, laughing. He says, "My dear friend, it was wonderful. Radha knows some magic." Loudly condemning her, Jyotila placed her before the elderly gopis and Purnamasi. And then she lifted her veil, and from under the veil came a laughing Subal. And when everybody present stopped laughing, they were all laughing so much at Jyotila, then all the elderly gopis were so angry at Jyotila. And they loudly rebuked her, and she bowed her head in great shame, and she fled. And then the other girl transformed into Vrinda. This is amazing. And Krishna says no. Because Vrinda knew that Abhimanyu had called Radha away, she arranged this wonderful pastime for me. Then Krishna says, "I wish to see Vrinda and Subal in this way. Please go and bring them here." So Madhu goes off to find them. And Krishna is sitting there waiting, and to calm his mind from thoughts of Radha, he decides to play his beautiful flute. Meanwhile, Lalita and Radha actually arrive. And Krishna thinks it is Subal and Vrinda. So he calls them near. "Come, quickly, come, let me see." And he wants to see them. And they realize that Krishna thinks that we are Subal and Vrinda. So they come a little closer and they act very appropriately for the situation. And everything is going very nicely until Vrinda walks in. And then Krishna understands that this is actually my beloved, who is like a garland of ranjana flowers that I wear around my neck and whom I am very reluctant to abandon. Then Krishna says, "O Radha, I wished to see Subal disguised as you, but now I see you, who are very difficult to attain, standing before me. So I am like a merchant who goes to search for broken glass, but instead finds a rare sapphire, which is the abode of transcendental love." Then Krishna speaks many, many sweet words to Radha, and gradually he pacifies Radha's jealous anger. Then taking her with him, they wander in the forest. And as they're passing by one kadamba tree, they see two parrots up in the tree. They are disciples of Vrinda. One parrot is male, one is female. So first the male parrot speaks. He says, "These gopis are very troublesome, slippery, like intoxicating black musk, whereas Krishna is as gentle as springtime, southern breezes that please everyone." Lalita starts to speak very harsh words to this parrot, and Madhu Mangal defends the parrot in many ways. But then the female parrot begins to speak. And she says, "O fickle male parrot, your master Krishna does not love Radha. His love is only for a moment, just as the rising sun is red, only for a moment. Only Radha loves. Her love is constant, just like butter. It always retains its nature. Radha is eternally anointed with the love, with the oil of love for Krishna. Madhu Mangal doesn't like this. He doesn't like to hear Krishna being criticized. So he picks up a stick and he throws it at the parrot. And both of the birds then fly away. Then Vrindadevi comes. And in her hand she has two red lotuses and one white lotus. And she gives them to Krishna. And Krishna takes the two red lotuses and he places them like earrings on Radha's ears. But then Krishna notices that in the white lotus that he has in his hand, there's a black bumblebee flying here and there and here and there. And gradually that black bumblebee becomes attracted to the red lotuses that are hanging on Radha's ears and starts flying around Radha's face. So Radha takes the edge of her sari and tries to get the bee to leave. But the bumblebee will not leave Radha's face. And so Madhu Mangal gets a stick and he comes and he tries to hit the bumblebee. And then the bumblebee leaves. And then Madhu Mangal says, "Just see, I have chased away Madhusudan." Now Radha, in her extraordinary loving mood of prem vaichitya, she hears that Madhusudan is gone. And even though Krishna is standing right before her, she goes into an extraordinary mood of separation, and blinded by her own loving sentiments, she can no longer even see Krishna. And Krishna is amazed. He stands there watching as Radha weeps because Krishna has left her. She thinks that Krishna is gone and becomes overwhelmed with love. Then, after Radha has regained her composure, they wander in the forest, and as they're walking back to where they were before, Madhu Mangal sees a yellow cane on the ground. He says, "Look, that's Jyotila's cane." And just as he says that, Jyotila marches in, looking quite embarrassed to get her cane. And she comes to get it. And Radha and Lalita, really Radha and Lalita, become very frightened and they run very quickly away. And Madhu says to Jyotila, "Oh, crooked dog's tail, take your cane." Jyotila calls out, "Subal, why do you repeatedly make fun of me by dressing up as a girl?" Krishna says, "I swear by my superiors that that is not Subal, it is Radha." Jyotila looks at him and says, "Fool, I can see everything. What is the use of you trying to convince me?" And she exits. And Krishna turns to Madhu Mangal and says, "Let us now go to Gokul." And thus ends Act 4 and 5 of Lalita Madhava.